me know.
What's next? What's next?
That's Big Tom, man. Let's go, man. Big Tom. It's a law, man. That's how we play together, man.
Go, baby. Good job, man.
Great job. Great job.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Bring it, baby. Bring it.
Tell it's just not any edition of Chiefs Live. That open, if you can't get the blood flowing after seeing that locker room celebration after the Philadelphia win, I'll put you in some potting soil and feed and water you.
It's the 3-0 edition.
It's a 3-0 edition. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs, and 15-year veteran of the Chiefs, of the National Football League, I should say, with three different teams, Kendall Gammon. But that capturing those couple of minutes, it's unparalleled in life, really, to have that kind of moment.
It is fabulous. And when you look at how they did it, Mitch, and going to Philadelphia, former home of Andy Reid, and the short week, and you have to travel, it's a national game. Everybody's looking at this vaunted offense that Philadelphia has, which certainly they have weapons. But to go do what they did, take the ball away like they did, create field position like they did, that was fabulous. That was definitely a signature game.
So the Chiefs are 3-0 and a chance to go 4-0 for only the third time in franchise history. The two previous times, 2003, you were on that team that started 9-0, and then 1996, back in the latter part of Marty Schottenheimer's time here in Kansas City. But this 3-0, the Chiefs were 3-0 in 2010. But how different does this 3-0 feel to you? It's something different about this.
It is different. And again, I've been in a locker room like that where you're 3-0 and we got to 9-0. But the fact is we were doing it a different way. We were playing okay defense, but not great. We were outscoring people. That's complete antithesis of what's going on right now. And it's a good thing. And it just shows you, Mitch, and we'll talk about it, folks, throughout this broadcast, of what happens if you don't turn the ball over. And then you compound that with creating turnovers. +9 in the turnover ratio, that is fabulous. That makes, as we say, all the difference in the world.
Well, just keep in mind, this team was -20 after 8 weeks last year of the season in the giveaway takeaway. And the New York Giants are interesting because they're -9. They're at the very bottom of the league at -9. The Chiefs are at +9. And it segues into this week's game against the New York Giants at 0-3. Very surprising that they're there. But there's been kind of a theme around 1-hour drive, and these are my words, not necessarily the team's, but 3-0 and room to grow. There is a ton of ceiling left on this team. It's not like they're maxing out in doing what they've done to this point to go 3-0.
Well, there's no question about that. When you look at the offense, they're doing a lot of good things. They're holding on to the ball, and they're managing the clock, I think, very, very well. But there's a lot of different things. As you see right there, not turning all the ball over, that's huge. You know about that. First and differential, we talked about that at +9. No turnovers in the first three games, not since the 98, and it's actually Panthers, not the Patriots. You know what? The offense, you say room to grow, you look at that. No runs for over 20-plus yards. You got to believe that guy right there to the right, number 25, Jamaal Charles, is going to get a few of those at one point in time. You see only 9 receptions for 20-plus yards. That's 20th in the league. And, Mitch, when we look at that, what you're seeing, and again, you see the drop balls also, what you're seeing is the fact that they're winning with a lot of different things that aren't going right. So you've got that, as you said, 3-0 and room to grow. You've got room to get better. Now, in the NFL, it doesn't matter if you're 9-0, 4-5, 5-4. You're always talking about the fact that you want to get better and you have a chance to get better. But in this case, it's very, very attainable. I'd say the same thing about special teams. They're creating field position. They're doing some good things. But they've had a couple gaffes, self-admittedly. They're getting those taken care of, but they are helping create field position.
Yeah, still had a blocked field goal and a blocked punt, and then the one long kickoff return by Demps, but still no direct scores. But that plus 9 is also translating into short field and short field points. I'm going to pick up your point on special teams, though. Something that's amazing is starting field position for this team, both on offense and defense. It's remarkable when you look at the numbers.
It's unreal. 37-yard line, the offense starts on average, and defensively, it's 20-yard line. I'll tell you right now, folks, I mean, and it was a slow morning, so I worked on it. Less than 12% of the time, if you start at the 20 or inside, you're going to score. That's huge for the defense side of the ball. And then again, when you look at the offensive side, when you start between the 30 and the 50, you've got almost a 20% chance to score. That's a big differential. And the other thing is, of those two, you've got a 17-yard differential between the 20 and the 37 from D to O. If you just hold on to the ball and you punt it back and forth, you gain 17 yards on average each time. I mean, it is a numbers game to a degree if you're doing the right things.
Well, let's talk about the 3-0 and room to grow for defense, because people are marveling over this defense. 15 sacks, that leads the league. You mentioned the plus 9. The negative plays tied for fifth most, with forcing 24 negative plays. It's just the converse of last year. And New York actually has some stats that look like the Chiefs of 2012, and we mentioned the plus 9 going over and over. But I'm going to ask about this, because the Chiefs are near the bottom of the league defensively in yards per rush allowed. That really points you to big runs. They've allowed 4 runs of 20-plus yards or more. That is in the bottom quarter of the league. So there's even areas where the defense can improve.
Well, you're right, and that's a huge problem. And again, they know they have to take care of that, Mitch. But what I like about the fact is they did this twice in the preseason. They've done it twice this year also, is after a big play, you get them down, you give the defense a chance to line up and get another down, and both times they went 3-and-out and forced a field goal. I can't tell you how big a deal that is, because it's just 4 points. But it's 4 points, and it makes, again, I keep saying it, a huge world of difference, because now you get off the field with a field goal as opposed to a touchdown. It just lifts the spirits as a defense goes also.
And to your point, another gigantic stat, the Chiefs are second in the NFL in red zone defense. Dallas has the only red zone touchdown against Kansas City so far this year. Well, one defender who has captured a lot of attention is Justin Houston. Almost 5 sacks by himself in that Philadelphia game. He is the player of the week once again. It's twice in 3 weeks he's had it. Overall, your thoughts on Justin Houston?
You know what? He's doing a fabulous job. What I like about the fact is we all know he can rush the passer, and again, 7.5 sacks evidences that. But he's setting the edge. I thought he did a nice job of setting the edge. It was hard this game because of that option and how they run it. The backside end had to stay at home, so he couldn't pursue down the line. So you couldn't make tackles from the back, which I think he does a good job, from the offside rather. But I just like how he's in coverage sometimes also. But in general, he's a complete defensive player. And I'm going to tell you right now, I still think he's just scratching the surface. And I'll say this, and we can discuss a little bit more also. This, to me, is a direct reflection of having somebody in the middle who's doing wreaking havoc. And you've got Tomba on the other edge also. And when I say the guy in the middle wreaking havoc, that's number 92, Dontari Poe. You know, he has 3.5 sacks. And to me, this was the best non-stat game I've seen from an inside guy, because he was flowing down the line of scrimmage, and those backs were quick enough to run away from him a little bit, but he was flushing them into somebody else, and he was taking up space. And I guarantee if you ask the defense, anybody, they'll talk about what he's doing, even if he's not making tackles and sacks.
It looked like the first time, and we're going to see more of this, where a team was so concentrated on pinching the A gap, the gap between the center and the guard, thinking, we got to take care of this first. How much did that open up the outside, particularly for Houston?
Well, I think any time that you can get Houston on a one-on-one, that's not a fair fight. So, and that's what I think it created lots of times. Then the other thing we're seeing is Coach Bob Sutton is repeatedly getting overloads to one side or the other, confusing the offense, out-scheming them to where now you may have four coming to one side and they've only got three blockers over there. And it's, can I get to the QB quicker than you can find the open guy? And quite honestly, I thought Philadelphia did a decent job at times of holding up and pass protection, but the defensive backfield is doing a really, really good job there. And if you listen to the defense as a whole, you talk to the D-backs, what do they say? You know what, it's the defensive line, they're getting a rush, they're doing a great job. You talk to the defensive line, they're like, you know what, the defensive backfield, they're holding them. I mean, it's, I'm going to tell you, it goes all the way up to Andy Reid and how he approaches this team. It's the whole, it's not me, it's we, and I love that.
Yeah, big time, and that sounds trite, but this is real with this team. And that leads us into this comments of Justin Houston and the reaction of his head coach and his teammates about Justin Houston being the defensive player of the week again. But you'll hear from Justin Houston. It's not about him. It's about the team.
Congratulations to him.
Does the second one mean more than the first?
All I mean the same. It means a lot. It's a great accomplishment. I'm going to take it for the team because it was a team effort.
How much has Dontari helped you in the middle?
A whole lot. Between him, Tyson, Bailey, DeVito, them guys pushing the pockets, it's a whole lot easier to rush off the edge.
You know, both our guys outside, I think he and Tom are elite players, really do a great job. Every single play have great motors, and are really talented guys. So, yeah, happy they're on my side.
What do you think of his dance?
Yeah, it's great. I love seeing it. I want to continue to keep seeing it out there. The more, the better. So,
complimentary football. Sounds like a trite phrase, but this team right now is playing complimentary football. And again, 3-0 and room to grow. It's exciting to see where this could go.
I'm going to tell you right now, I had a coach who always used to tell me, with team success comes individual accolades. And right now, all they're interested in is team success, because when it comes down to it, it is a business, but these guys want to win. They're playing a game right now. They're having fun. That's what you want.
And 23 of these 53 guys were here last year and went through that abysmal 2-14. So, yes, they're unusually hungry for the success that the Chiefs are having. Now, the mailbag here, there's a big wedding going on in Frederick, Maryland, and a lot of Virginia Tech people are there. Of course, they're Chiefs fans actually on the East Coast. They want to talk about Brandon Flowers. And I want to bring this up and ask you, because he showed unusual courage and toughness to me. Now, we've seen, I say unusual, we're used to it with him. For all intents and purposes, when I saw him 2 hours before the kickoff, I would have bet you he was not going to play. And one of the more understated things of the Philadelphia win was what he did with DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson had 200 yards receiving almost in the Sunday before. He had a 140-yard pickup. But what about the toughness of a Brandon Flowers?
Well, you know, he was limited practice time that week, somewhat of a game time decision, maybe officially. I think from his mind, he was never going to do anything but play. I think what the coaches like about him is, number one, certainly he's a great cover corner, but his confidence and his mental acuity in terms of, you know what, put me on the best guy. He may beat me here or there, but I've still got the confidence to get back out there and go after it. I think Coach Reed's talked about it. He competes, and that's what you want in a defensive back. You want him to be able to compete, and you want him to have a short memory. He does both of those. And, again, he's becoming a quiet leader. I say quiet. He likes to talk a little bit. But he's a leader of this team, and he's somebody that I think a lot of the guys look up to, because as a former player, you know who's hurt in the locker room. Mm-hmm. You know what's going on more than anybody else. So you know the guys that are having a rough time. And when you see them get out there and perform like he did, and he came off the field a couple times, I'm going to tell you, I was right down there. Well, one time he went down, and he's pounding his fist, and he's in pain. He comes out for a couple plays, and boom, he's right back in there. That's a team player.
Yeah, he's like a Navy SEAL with his toughness. And the cornerback position, particularly in this defense where they play a lot of press man, is like being a fighter pilot. Another question came from the same group. Again, they're Virginia Tech fans. A lot of them are Chiefs fans, but some are Giant fans. And David Wilson also went to Virginia Tech. He's an interesting study for the Giants, because we mentioned the Chiefs have given up some big plays running the ball. We haven't really talked about Wilson much, both as a kick returner and as maybe running big plays from scrimmage downs. What about defending the speed of a David Wilson?
Well, you know what? If you ever wanted to get ready for speed like that, play Philadelphia and the people they've got, I guess, to begin with. I'm going to tell you right now, it doesn't hurt to have 10 days to get ready for that game as opposed to 7. You know, you have the short work week, and that's tough, but then you have the days after that, which makes a big difference. You know, it'll be interesting because they brought back Brandon Jacobs, I believe, and Wilson had some troubles in the first game, and I think he's a bit in the doghouse right now, and I'm not sure if he's going to get out of it to get the normal carries that he might get, so we'll see. But he's definitely somebody you have to be wary of, and that goes right back, Mitch, to your point of the big plays, the 20-plus runs, and the NFL in general is a league of chunks. So you can't have 10 and 12 play drives all the time. You have to get those chunks. The defense of Kansas City has to stop them, and conversely, our offense, the Chiefs' offense, has to start getting some as well.
Yeah, and if he's in the doghouse, he's a greyhound in the doghouse. Now, a couple of you, well, we continued questions that we get online about Eric Fisher, and I'm going to, you kind of froze him in the game against Philadelphia. This is the key touchdown that gave the Chiefs a two-possession lead that they did not relinquish, but I want to get your thoughts on it. Hopefully we can pull up the play at the goal line. And this was the touchdown by Jamaal Charles. What did you see here? What should we pick up from this photo?
Well, I think the big thing you look here, Mitch, is the fact that he's got his head on play side. You see Jamaal right behind him, cutting to the outside behind Sherman also, who's occupying either the outside linebacker or the D-back who's come up there. Not a devastating block by Sherman, but he occupies him so he can get to the outside. But what I liked about Fisher was when he got into his man to begin with, his head was actually on the backside, and he worked to get it to play side. And what happens when you do that and you move a little bit, you see all the guys to the left of him. If he gets a little bit of movement, he's now cut the defense whether he goes forward or not, because they have to bubble around him. They have to go around. And the fact is, when you've only got 3 or 4 yards to go and you've got a guy behind you who has world-class speed, if the backer has to bubble at all and give up a little room, he's not going to get there, and that's what happened on this play.
And Eli Manning comes into the game. We'll talk about the Giants after the break. He leads the league with 8 interceptions. It's just mind-boggling, but we'll get into that more. But here's what Eli Manning could see. You put another one, you put another photo up there. This was the interception that Michael Vick threw for the pick six early in the game. Now, what do you see when you put this up on the screen?
Well, again, and I tweeted both of these out earlier because I just thought this was very telling of what was going on. If I'm Michael Vick, I don't know what to do, because on the far outside, I'm covered. The second red circle, you can barely see the Eagles receiver because they're covered. You've got DJ breaking on the ball, and you've got Eric Berry behind him coming up to make the tackle if he doesn't get it. And then you looked out to the left also. That guy's blanketed also. This is what we're talking about when we talk about this defensive backfield. I mean, when you're doing things like that and your QB either has to rush the ball out or he has to hold it a little bit too long, either way, it makes a difference, and it causes things like that. I mean, you get a pick six in that game. That was fabulous. You talk about quieting a crowd down. That quieted a crowd down quite a bit.
Yeah, that lit the fuse for that outstanding win at Philadelphia on the road. Speaking of fuses to be lit, New York has yet to light it. And they're coming in as a wounded team to Arrowhead Stadium. We come back, we're going to take a look, closer look at this matchup with the 3-0 Chiefs against the 0-3 Giants as our Midwest Ford dealers Chiefs live show continues. We'll be back after this.
This is a seat. But let's not call it that. It's more like a drum, a pulpit, sometimes a punching bag. It's where memories are made, decibels are raised, and beverages are cradled. But let's not call it a seat, because seats were made for sitting.
Welcome back to this Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live edition, the 3-0 edition, now trying to get to 4-0 again. Only be the third time in Chiefs history that they would be 4-0. Here's what's interesting for the Giants. If they start 0-4, it would be the first time that they've started that way in a non-strike season since 1979. Let's talk about the Giants here a little bit, because I'm mystified when you look at them numbers-wise. They're last in the NFL in rushing the ball, and it's a long way to 31st. They're 30 yards behind the next worst team.
Yeah, they are playing poorly, and they're doing it with authority. And it goes without explanation to me to a degree. I mean, certainly you say, well, it's the turnovers, and I would say, yeah, that is the issue. But, boy, you wouldn't expect that from a team like this. I'm going to tell you right now, there's nobody happier than myself that they're coming in here, because I know from experience there's nothing more dangerous in the NFL than a wounded animal fighting for its life, which is exactly what you just explained, and that's what they're doing. So I'm glad that they're going to be an arrowhead in the sea of red, and that Eli's going to have a hard time hearing and communicating, because it does make a huge difference. I mean, you hear it talked about, but offensively, when you're out there and you're on the other team, you literally, it's a jet engine down there. You can't hear yourself think, and that will help out tremendously. But again, I expect nothing but the best from these guys, because they're pros, they're Pro Bowl players, they're at the top of their game. And the NFL, the one thing that everybody always talks about the NFL is about is respect. And I'm going to tell you right now, you don't feel like you have a lot of respect when you're 0-3 and you want it, and everybody's talking about that. And what place is going to talk about that more than New York and the media they have? So they've got something to prove, no doubt about it.
Before the break, we talked about the Chiefs' offensive line. I need to ask you about this Giants' offensive line, because I've admired them for a long time. They got two Lombardi trophies sitting in there. But they're the fourth oldest offensive line in the league. Overall, the Giants are the fourth oldest team. Now, this is an unrelenting league. You don't tap into the wall. You crash into the wall. This offensive line, being the fourth oldest in the league, they just were mauled by the Panthers. Six sacks in the first quarter and into the second quarter. What are we seeing here with this offensive line? What's going on?
Well, I think there's a case possibly of some guys, you know, you say the fourth oldest, holding on too long. I'm going to go back to a couple of my old teammates who are Hall of Famers or will be Hall of Famers, in terms of Willie Rofe and Will Shields. Both of them had great years their very last year that they played. But when we talked, it's just like, Kendall, my body's hit the wall. I just can't do this anymore. And they just understood that if they were coming back, you know, they might be holding on, and they just didn't feel like they might be able to perform to the level that they're used to performing. And I'm afraid here is you had some people hold on, and it wouldn't surprise me if maybe they're trying to stretch, like you talked about earlier, that rubber band just a little bit more. And sometimes you'll get some management will try to talk a player into staying a little bit longer, because they are remembering what they used to play like and think they can still do that. So you've got to wonder, because, again, this isn't what Eli Manning had envisioned. I assure you of that.
No, not 11 sacks and 8 interceptions. Chris Snees battling injury. Tom Coughlin's son-in-law, he's a 10-year veteran. He has been a Pro Bowl performer. And their David Boss, their center, is also dealing with some injuries. So this is a chopped-up group. But our Rachel Sanchez, KCChiefs.com, our Chiefs reporter, kind of deals with the line of scrimmage and some other issues as the Chiefs try to go 4-0 against the New York Giants.
10 days after the emotional win in Philadelphia, the Chiefs head back to Arrowhead to face the New York Giants, wrapping up a 3-game stretch against the NFC East. The Chiefs are looking to stay undefeated, while the Giants are trying to break into the win column. Though the Giants have struggled this season, they have a lot of weapons on both sides of the ball and have plenty to keep the Chiefs busy on Sunday. Here are the three main focus points for this week. First, turnovers. Kansas City's defense has consistently been a threat this season, forcing 9 takeaways in just 3 games. Eric Berry and Tom Bahali have each scored touchdowns off interceptions this season, while Brandon Flowers and Sean Smith have picked off opposing quarterbacks once each as well. Meanwhile, the Giants rank 31st in turnover differential, recording only 2 fumble recoveries and 2 interceptions in 3 games. Second, the battle up front. The Giants' offensive line is ranked 28th in sacks allowed, giving up 11 sacks this season, including 7 last week alone. They will face another tough test in the Chiefs' defense, specifically Justin Houston, the 6'3", 258-pound California native, leads the league with 7.5 sacks on the season, including 4.5 last week. But the Chiefs will face a tough test up front as well. The Giants have a formidable defensive line, starring perennial All-Pro defensive end Jason Pierre-Paul. Finally, the quarterbacks. Alex Smith is one of only three quarterbacks to have zero interceptions through the first 3 weeks of the season, while Eli Manning leads the league with 8 interceptions. However, the Chiefs' defense won't underestimate the Giants' signal caller. Eli is a 2-time Super Bowl MVP, and this Giants offense could ignite at any moment. There's a lot to look for in this matchup, and fans can expect another exciting game on Sunday. After the roar of the crowd left Andy Reid telling reporters he could feel the ground shaking in the home opener, you can expect Arrowhead will be rocking once again in week 4.
Yeah, Rachel, let's hope the Richter scale is being challenged once again, because that, again, is probably the biggest key to this, and you alluded to it with New York, trying to keep them winless in this game. Another question that comes in from those of you who follow Chiefs Live and are with us all week long on KCChiefs.com deals with the wide receiver position. We didn't mention Donnie Avery yet and the fact that he popped a big game. What are you seeing from the wide receiver position going into the New York game?
Well, I think they're doing a good job for the most part catching the ball. Certainly, I think everybody wants to see Dwayne Bowe get involved more. But the fact is, sometimes if you're doubling him or you've got some help over the top, you may have to go somewhere else. But Donnie Avery is what I love in terms of those crossing routes and getting some chunk yardage. And that's, to me, that's what the offense has to do, is they have to get those chunks. I want to see more of those chunks from Jamal also. And it's fine, Jamal. I don't care if you do them in the passing game or the running game, just as long as we get them. But in general, I think that's a good thing. I think the offense is playing smart football. There's certainly some issues here and there with the pass protection. That's to be expected a bit with a young line, but as the line grows and plays together a little bit more, I think they will continue to get better. But when it comes down to the receivers, those two guys, I'd like to see McCluster get a little bit more involved. You talk about the tight ends. What are you seeing with them?
Well, here's what I see. I see this, because his beard looks about like this. And that's Sean McGrath. I call him Duck Dynasty.
That's a fact, Jack.
He is a refugee. And I've got a great interview with him on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network pregame coming up Sunday morning. It's pretty funny. You want to listen to it. It's appointment listening. Right now he's saving this team. Real question whether Anthony Fasano can play again this week. Jason Kelsey's yet to get on the field. Travis Kelsey, I should say, not his brother Jason. He's a center for the Eagles. McGrath. I mean, this is one of those seven guys that was picked up on that crazy Sunday.
Henderson State, right?
Yeah, Division II, man. Southern Arkansas.
Well,
this guy's country.
I love Division II. I'll tell you that right now. I like the fact that he's a complete tight end because he's catching the ball and he can block. He's doing some good things. And then I'm going to tell you right now also, you alluded to it, but if you're down in your stance and you see that beard hanging down there, you don't know what to think, folks. You're like cats and dogs living together. It's mass hysteria. You're confused. And I'm going to tell you, he's a good dude. He's excitable. And he's a Division II guy. And seriously, I like that because, trust me, you don't go to Henderson State and expect to get the NFL. You may hope to, and you have people that come through, just like where I went to school also. But when you do, you don't take it for granted, folks. You're out there each and every day trying as hard as you can to make a difference and stay in the league and do some good things. You get your chance. They always say you're one play away. He was one play away, and he's making the most of it.
Well, he is the Chiefs' version of Duck Dynasty. And, again, you will want to listen to pregame on Sunday morning because he gets into that. How do I get from Henderson State and South Arkansas from the country? I mean, this dude is country. And how does he make it to the National Football League? And right now, it's not just a luxury. The Chiefs are counting on him because they are beat up at tight end. He is Kendall Gammon. I am Mitch Holtis. We both look to go 4-0. And this is getting good. So it's the Chiefs and the Giants at Arrowhead Stadium. It should be a great one. Thanks for joining us on this edition of our Midwest Ford Dealers Chiefs Live Show.